I have a severe, severe hearing loss. The last time I went to a hearing aid specialist, he said there's a hearing loss, and then there's a bad hearing loss, and there's a severe hearing loss. He said, you're down in the severe hearing loss group. But under certain conditions, I can hear. Certain conditions, I can hear. Certain frequencies, I can hear. And certain tones, I can hear. But there are other conditions, frequencies, and tones that I cannot hear at all, no matter how loud you speak, no matter how loud the matter, no matter how soft or loud or how often it's repeated, I just cannot hear. And I know that's confusing to people who speak to me. They think they're speaking right to me under certain conditions and frequencies and tones. They're speaking straight to me. And I have a blank expression on my face because I'm not hearing one word, not one word. And they think, well, how can he not hear? He heard the other person. How can he not understand? He heard the other time. But this time he doesn't hear. So what I'm saying is there's certain conditions and noises that are going on at the same time, certain frequencies and tones, it's impossible for me to hear. Impossible. And that's the way an unbeliever is. An unbeliever can hear certain things materially. You talk to him about automobiles, or talk to him about sports, talk to him about bargains and sales and businesses. He can hear you perfectly fine. Is certain subjects and certain voices, but spiritual tones and spiritual frequencies and spiritual conditions, he cannot hear. He's deaf. That's why I'm deaf to certain tones and certain frequencies. Totally deaf. Totally deaf. And under certain conditions, totally deaf. May not know you to even talk at all. That's the reason I don't go back to the back when they're having a get-together back there. I can't hear not one word. Not one word. A person can stand right in front of me and talk, and I don't hear one word they say. So there's certain unbeliever. There's an unbeliever. He can hear certain subjects. He can hear certain voices. He can hear certain music. He can hear under certain conditions. But when it comes to the truth of the word and spiritual subjects and Christ, and the glory of God, he cannot hear, no matter how loud you talk, or how soft, or how often you repeat it. Well, I've told you that 1,000 times. Tell him 1,000 more times, and he won't hear you. But preachers scream. They run up and down screaming. Screaming's not going to help them hear you. Lowering your voice is not going to. They cannot hear. They're deaf. They're blind. To you that believe, he's precious. To those who do not believe, you just read this. He's a stumbling stone. Well, how can you tell when a man does hear? My friend Jim Eccles has the identical problem I have. I know when he's not hearing me. He'll just look at me blankly and smile. And I know when he is hearing me. He responds. He responds. He responds to what I say. In other words, when you speak to a person that's in the condition we are, and they're not hearing you, they'll be nice and they'll smile, but they won't respond. And the same thing is true of a person to whom you're telling the story of Christ. If he's really hearing you, he'll respond. He'll respond. He'll respond
with warmth.
He'll respond with appreciation. He'll respond with faith. That's right. Isn't that right, Wanda? You can tell when he's hearing you. When he's not, he doesn't respond. When he does, he responds. And that's a good illustration of how when we witness to people and talk to them about Christ, when they're hearing, they'll respond. You'll know when they're hearing. But here it says, no matter, our Lord, here in verse 37, he did so many miracles. This is chapter 12. He raised Lazarus in chapter 11 from the dead. They still didn't hear him. Still didn't believe. Back in chapter 6, he fed 5,000, and they said, now what are you going to do to prove you're the Christ? He spoke as no man ever spoke. He took the Old Testament scriptures and revealed them. He lived a perfect, sinless, holy life. And yet, verse 37, yet they believe not on him. The natural man in Adam is dead, blind, deaf, cannot see or hear or understand. Now look at verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. This is Isaiah 53. You remember verse 1? He said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Is there anybody that believes what we're saying, what we're preaching? What is our report? Our report is Christ. When he went on in chapter 53, he started off this way. He said, Lord, who hath believed our report? What is the report? Well, if you read the rest of that chapter, he uses the word he, him, and his 43 times. His report is Christ. He was wounded. He was bruised. He bore our sins. That's our report. It's Christ. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? What is the arm of the Lord? Well, I'll let you answer that. Turn to Isaiah 40. I'll read this and let you answer what is the arm of the Lord. Isaiah 40. Let's read verse 5 and 6 of Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 5 and 6. What is the arm of the Lord? Isaiah 40. No, that's not it. It's Isaiah. Well, turn, if you will, to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 5. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. The arm of the Lord, that's Christ. My arm's not short that I can't say. Ear's not heavy that I cannot hear. The arm of the Lord is Christ. But it says here in verse 38 of our text, Isaiah said, who has believed it? To whom is Christ revealed? Well, he's revealed to some. He's revealed to you and to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Here's both groups mentioned here. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us, which is saved, is the power of God. Look at the next page, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned, understood. But he that's spiritual, he discerneth all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. The most obvious and glorious and valuable truth that can be set forth to a natural man will not be heard. will not be seen and will not be understood. Look at verse 39 now. Therefore, verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, now this is so serious here, I want you to read this carefully and let's seek the revelation of the Spirit on these two verses. They could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their minds. He hath hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, nor be converted, and I should heal them. Now this verse occurs in the New Testament six times. Six times. Isaiah wrote it back there in Isaiah 6 verse 10. But it's repeated, and I want to show you a few places. Don't you write it down and read it later. But let's look at a few of these. Matthew 13. Six times this verse is repeated. And any effort to alter it is inexcusable. Matthew 13, verse 14 and 15. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and I should be converted and I should heal them. But thank God for verse 16, blessed are your eyes, they see, your ears they hear. But let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 verse 12. Here it is again. Mark 4 verse 12. Verse 11, he said to the disciples, Mark 4, 11, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Turn to Luke 8. Here it is again. I want you to see it six times in the Scripture. It refers in the New Testament to Isaiah's writings. In Luke 8, verse 10, let's read this. And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to others in parable, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. But I keep reading that, but look back at my text. John 12. Let me make some comments here. John 12, verse 39 and 40. Therefore they could not believe. They could not believe. Because he hath blinded their eyes. God blinded their eyes. God hardened their hearts. That they should not see nor understand. Be converted. Now Adam, let's go back to Adam. Adam had everything. He had everything. Genesis 1, verse 27. You're going to have to read this with me to understand what I'm saying. Adam had everything. He had everything. God gave him everything. And he gave him a commandment to obey him. And Adam refused to obey him. He refused. In Genesis 1, verse 27, God created man his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful. Multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth about. God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. I've given you everything. What did Adam do? He would not hear. He would not hear God. God said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Everything else is yours. Don't do it. But he did. And here in Genesis 3, look across a couple of pages, verse 17, God cast him out. Genesis 3:17, unto Adam he said, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife, you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till you return to the ground. Out of it you were taken, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. He would not hear God. God put him in a place where he could not hear God. Turn to Romans 9. Let me show you this. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Now, stay with me. I believe I've got some light on this. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Here's Israel. Here's Israel. Israel had the advantages. Romans 9, verse 4 asks this question. Who are the Israelites? I'll tell you who they are. The people to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, giving of the law, service of God, promises. Whose are the fathers? Of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came? Who's over all? God blessed forever. Amen. That's Israel. All the prophets were Israelites, Jews. Tabernacle, priesthood. Sacrifices, the law, everything. They had all the advantages. What'd they do? They would not hear God. What happened to them? Turn to Romans 11. God fixed it so they couldn't hear. He hardened their hearts and blinded their minds. In Romans 11, verse 8 through 10, listen. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears they should not hear unto this day. David said, let their table be made a snare. Their table of their sacrifices and bread and all these things, a snare at their table, and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense. And let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. That's Israel. God hardened their hearts. My text says, he hath blinded their minds and hardened their hearts, that they should not hear with their eyes, not hear, see with their eyes, or understand with their hearts. Let's look at Pharaoh, Exodus 9. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 9. You've read that many times where God hardened his heart, but I'll tell you what was first. He hardened his heart. He hardened his heart. If you get your concordance and look at it, you'll find several times it says he hardened his heart. Then it says God hardened his heart. What Isaiah said here is, if there's a time when men will not hear God, there'll come a time when they cannot hear God. If there's a time when men cannot hear because they will not, there'll come a time when they will not because they cannot. Now you listen to this. In Exodus 9, verse 34 and 35. Exodus 9, 34. And when Pharaoh saw Moses brought these plagues there, and the plagues finally went away, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, hardened his heart. He's kept on in the path he was walking, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He wouldn't let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, all right, go in unto Pharaoh. I have hardened his heart. I have hardened the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him. Now he's in a fix. He could not because he would not. Now, he could not even if he would. And I'll show you two other illustrations of that in Romans 1. Here's another. Here's two more illustrations. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 19. Because. Romans 1 verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and God showed it to them. For the invisible, Romans 1:20 now, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so men are without excuse. So because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but were vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to beasts, birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up. Verse 26, God gave them up. Verse 28, they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He blinded their eyes. He hardened their hearts. They did it first, and then he added to it. 2 Thessalonians, I told you I'd give you another. 2 Thessalonians, listen to this. This is just applicable, so applicable to this day. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, listen. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What happened? For this cause, they receive not the love of the truth. God will send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, really, truly believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's true in Proverbs. And let me show you that one, and I'll move on to the next verse. In Proverbs chapter 1, listen to this. You see, there's a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's God, there's the call of the creation. God, the heavens declare the glory of God. But men will not, they will not believe what they see. Conscience declares the law of God, and they will not listen to the conscience. Judgments of God. You can have a death in a family, and everybody starts thinking about religion, and 2 weeks later they've forgotten. That's God says in Amos, he said, I've smitten you with mildew. I've killed you young men with a sword. I've sent you a drought, a lack of rain when just 2 months before the harvest. You won't return. You won't repent. So just get ready to meet God, he said. Prepare to meet God. And here he says in Proverbs 1, listen, verse 24, Proverbs 1, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said it not all my counsel. There's not many people in this town hadn't heard who God is, who Christ is. You would none of my reproof, so what's going to happen? I will laugh at your calamity. I'm going to mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, you're going to call. I will not answer. You'll seek me. You'll not find me. That's the reason the scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And that's what's happened here in John 12, verse 40. Verse 39, they could not believe. they could not believe, because he blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Judgment. Judgment. Now let's look at verse 41. Let me move on. You see that? I read, Phyllis said, if there's a time when men cannot come to God because they will not come to God, they will not come to God, then there'll come a time when it may be that they give some consideration to coming to God, but they cannot. Can't see. Can't hear and can't believe. In verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. You know, we talk about the book of Isaiah being the gospel of the Old Testament, the book of Christ. He talks about Christ, our Lord. No matter where you read in Isaiah, you find Christ. And why is that? He tells you in this verse. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, he spake of him. When was that? Well, he said, in the care that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the seraphims cried, holy, holy, holy. And I said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among people of God. He saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, he spake of him. Now then, I said a while ago, when a man hears, he responds. He responds. All right. What did Isaiah see? He saw the throne. He saw the temple. He saw the seraphims. He saw the whole earth. The whole earth, he said, was filled with his glory. He saw himself. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He saw the people. And he said, they're all the same way I am. But when he spake, what did he speak of? Him. All these other things that he saw were insignificant compared to the hymn. So when a man really hears Christ, somebody asks the question, says, why don't preachers today exalt Christ? They haven't seen him. Why don't preachers today magnify Christ? They talk more about the devil than they do about Christ. They talk more about themselves than they talk about Christ. They talk more about their programs and their singing groups and than they talk about Christ. I'll tell you, they haven't seen his glory. When Isaiah saw his glory, he responded. He spake of him. He said him 43 times in that one chapter. Him, him, him. He. And that, when a person hears, when he sees the glory of Christ, he won't just smile at you. He'll respond. He'll speak of him. That's right. You go on a vacation, you come back, and you tell that which impressed you the most. You keep talking about that which impressed you the most. And when you hear this gospel, here's an interesting verse here I want to look at. Verse 42. This is interesting here. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Here's a situation to which our Lord responded. There were some men among the chief rulers who heard our Lord, who were impressed. In fact, he said many. Didn't he say many? Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed. These were not stupid men. These were intelligent men. These were men in high offices. These are men who had studied Scripture. They'd studied the traditions of the fathers. They'd studied the great kings and writers. They'd read all of David and Isaiah and all these men. And when they heard Christ, they were impressed. They were impressed. Could I name some of them? Nicodemus. It says Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Joseph of Arimathea. He was a ruler of the Jews. Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the greatest theologian of that day. Paul went to school under Gamaliel. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, went to school under Gamaliel. And it says here that they believed on him. I don't know what they believed. I don't know how strongly they believed. I don't know to what extent Christ was revealed to them. But John gives two reasons here why these men didn't confess Christ, why they didn't follow Christ. Nicodemus was still with the Pharisees long after he came to Christ by night. He was still meeting with them. He said over there in, I can't remember where it is, but he said Nicodemus was one of them. Joseph of Arimathea was still with them when Christ died on the cross because he's the one that asked for his body. Gamaliel was still with them over in the book of Acts in chapter 5 when they were about to kill the disciples, and Gamaliel stood up in the meeting of these Jewish people. He was still one of them. He stood up and said, be careful what you do with these men. And what he said, Cecil, it may be of God. It may be of God. Now, that's not an answer you'd give. It is of God. He said, if it's of God, you can't do anything against it. If it's not of God, it'll perish anyway. These are some of these rulers. But they didn't confess Christ, didn't follow Christ, didn't openly own Christ because they were still with these fellows at these times. Why? Two reasons. Number one, they did not confess Christ lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to be put out of their religious community. They didn't want to be put out of the accepted churches and places of worship in that day. They didn't want to leave their offices. They were important men. They may have had salaries. They were supported in these offices. They were teachers. And so they didn't confess Christ because they didn't want to leave the old traditional church. And the second reason, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the applause and the praise of men. By confessing Christ, what would happen? They would fall under the wrath and condemnation and contempt of the religious world. They'd have to take their place with these other people, the lowly and the poor, and those who believed on Christ. That's something, isn't it? They heard, they were impressed, and they thought he might be the Messiah. Maybe even they believed he was, but they just couldn't leave their positions and their companions and the crowd they ran with. They didn't want to come under that contempt, the offense of the cross. It is offensive. It's an offensive message. All right, verse 44. I'm going to deal with this before I close, because our Lord cried and said. He cried and said. Amplified version says he loudly declared this what he said here. He loudly declared. He that believeth on me believes not only on me. Can I put that word only in there? It's the only way it can. Christ said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me. He said he believes not only on me. He believes on him that sent me. That's what he that believes on me believes not only on me. He believes on him that sent me. There's the Father and the Son are one. It's impossible to know the Father and not know the Son. It's impossible to believe on the Son and not believe on the Father, and vice versa. Let's look at a scripture, 1 John 2. And that's a condemning word to these men who wouldn't confess Christ. In 1 John 2, verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That's what he's saying there. He said to his disciples, you believe in God, believe in me. Believe in me, you believe in God. In verse 45 of our text, listen to what he says here. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. What was the definition Christ gave of eternal life in John 17? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's what he said. He that believeth on me, he's not just believing only on me, he believes on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, show us the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I'm come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. All abide in darkness, even the elect before their conversion were in darkness. By nature, children of wrath. But when God is pleased to reveal Christ, he enlightens us. We no longer walk in darkness. Now here are two things that are clear, and I'll close. Verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I'm not come to judge the world, but to save the world. What's he saying? If any man hear my words, here's the gospel. Here's the word. Here's the truth. And doesn't believe it? A lot of folks come under that category, don't they? A lot of folks. I think about it, our television program. How many people hear it? All over this country. We're on so many stations now. They say one letter represents 1,000 listeners. You know what they say? You get about 40, 50 letters a week. That's 40, 50,000 people. One writes, 999 don't. So many hear my word and do not believe. And Christ said, if any man hear my words and doesn't believe, I judge him not. Put one word in there. I judge him not now. Not now. Not right now. There are people who do not hear the gospel and they go through life prosperously, healthy, happy in the flesh. They live to be 75, 80, 85, 90, unjudged, undisciplined, untouched, untried. They're all around you. David complained about that. He said, how come these folks are prospering like that? How come these unbelievers, live so comfortably and unjudged and untried and undisciplined and God doesn't deal with them in judgment? He said, I'm not judging them now. I'll judge them later. I judge my people now. I discipline my people. If you be without discipline, if you be without chastisement, you're not a son. And he says that right here. He says, he hear my word, believe not. He may live a long, so-called happy, prosperous life. I didn't come into the world now. This is not the purpose. To judge is to save. Gospel is to save. Gospel is to redeem. Gospel is to quicken, make give life. Now then, next verse. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, he hath one that judgeth him. The words I've spoken, same will judge him in that day. God hath appointed a day in which you judge the world by that man Christ Jesus. Who he is, what he did, what he said. These words, Christ said, man may live prosperously, healthy, happily, unjudged, undisciplined. I didn't come to judge people. I came to save people. But one day, these words which I have spoken will come back to judge, to condemn, and to haunt those that heard them. One day, every unbeliever will meet these words again. Deuteronomy, verse 49, read that, and then I'll read, for I have not spoken of myself. The Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. His commandments, his words, life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Someday, they'll be back. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Verse 18. Verse 70. The Lord said to me, to Moses, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth like unto thee. I'll put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all I should command him. And it'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, one day I'll require it of him. Now, that's the judgment. So that's what Christ is saying there when he says, if a man doesn't hear now, doesn't believe now, I judge him not now, but I will. And the same words that I speak will judge him in that day.